This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Today in this episode, we're going to talk about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Yeah, there's Francis Scott Key Bridge on the Interstate 695 by Baltimore. Collapse on a bad shipping accident. The ship ran into the bridge and it collapsed. But before we get started, I have some announcements. This podcast is also on my YouTube page called Black Wall Street Tech. It's also on my YouTube page, Black Wall Street Tech. If you click Black Wall Street Tech, I should come up. You can subscribe to me and listen and watch the 176 videos I have on that platform. Okay, so we're going to talk about who Francis Scott Key is. Francis Scott Key was an American lawyer, author, and poet from Frederick, Maryland, best known as the author of the text of the American National Anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. Key observed the British bombardment of Fort McHenry in 1814 during the War of 1812. He inspired upon seeing the American flag still flying over the fort at dawn and wrote the poem Defense of Fort McHenry. It was public within a week with the suggested tune of the popular song to Acheron in Heaven. The song with Key's lyrics became known as the Star-Spangled Banner and slowly gained in popularity as the unofficial anthem, finally achieving official status more than a century later under President Herbert Hoover as the national anthem. Yes, the Francis Scott Key Bridge was basically named after Francis Scott Key, the man who wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. So, let's read some articles about the catastrophe, because that's exactly what it is, and these articles are going to explain why. This article is from Fast Company. It was written by the Associated Press. Rebuilding Baltimore's collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge will take anywhere from 18 months to 7 years, experts say, while the cost could be at least $1,400 million or more than twice that. It depends on factors that are still mostly unknown. They range from the design of the new bridge to how swiftly government officials can navigate the bureaucracy of approving permits and warranting contracts. Realistically, the project could take 5 to 7 years, according to Ben Schaeffler, an engineer professor at Johns Hopkins University. The lead time on air conditioning equipment right now for a home renovation is like 16 months, right? Schaeffler said. He continued. So you're telling me they're going to build the whole bridge in 2 years? I want it to be true, but I think empirically it doesn't feel right to me. Others are more optimistic about the potential timeline. Sam Obadi, an engineering professor at George Washington University, said the project could take as little as 18 months to 2 years. The Key Bridge collapsed Tuesday, killing 6 members of a crew that was working on the span, after the Dolly Cordell ship plowed into one of its supports. Officials are scrambling to clean up and rebuild after the accident, which has shuttered the city's busy port and a portion of the Baltimore Beltway. The disaster, in some ways similar to the deadly collapse of the Sunshine Skyway Bridge, was struck by a freighter in Tampa Bay in 1980. The new bridge took 5 years to build, was 19 months late, and ran $20 million over budget when it opened in 1987. Some experts say it's better to look at more recent bridge disasters for a sense of how quickly reconstruction may happen. Jim Diamond, executive director of the American Associated of State Highway and Transportation Officials, cited that the case of the Interstate 35 West Bridge in Minnesota, which collapsed into Mississippi River in 2007, the news span was up in less than 14 months. The best comparison that we have for a project like this, Timon said, they did outstanding work in being able to get the approvals necessary to be able to rebuild that as quickly as possible. Time and expense various government agencies to work together to push through permits, environmental, and otherwise. It doesn't mean that all the right boxes won't get checked, they will, Timon said. It will just be done more efficiently because everybody will know that this has to go get done as quickly as possible. One looming issue is the source of funding. President Joe Biden has repeatedly said the federal government will pay for the new bridge, but that remains to be seen. Hopefully, Congress will be able to come together to provide those resources as soon as possible so that does not become a source of delay, Timon said. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar helped obtain funding quickly to rebuild the I-5 West Bridge in her state, but she said replacing the Baltimore span could be more complicated. She noted that the I-35W Bridge, a federal interstate highway, was a much busier roadway with about 140,000 vehicle crossings a day, compared with about 31,000 for the Maryland Bridge. But there's a will, there's a way. You can get the emergency funding, Klobuchar said. It's happening all over the country when disasters hit. And the fact that this is such a major port also makes it deserving of the making sure that this all gets taken care of. Batty, the George Washington Bridge University, said that the cost could be between $500 million and $1 billion, with the largest variable being the design. For example, a suspension bridge like San Francisco's Golden Gate will cost more, while a cable stay span like Florida Skyway Sunshine Bridge, which handles weight using cables and towers, will be less expensive. Whatever is built, steel is expensive these days. There's a backlog for I-beams, Batty said, plus a limited number of construction companies that can tackle such a project are already busy on other jobs. A project like this is going to be expedited, so everything's going to cost a lot more, Nady said. Hodo Gangarayo, a West Virginia University engineering professor, said that the project could cost as little as $400 million, but that's only if the old bridge pier foundations are used. Designers may want to locate the new supports farther away from the shipping channels to avoid another collision. That's going to be more steel, more complicated construction, and more checks and balances, Gangarayo said. It all adds up. Norma Jean Mati, an emeritus engineering professor at the University of New Orleans, said replacing the key bridge will likely take several years, even if it's a priority. The process of designing the span, getting permits, and hiring contractors takes a lot of time. And then you have to build it. It's quite a process to actually get a bridge of this type into operation, she said. This is from Ben Philly and Brian White, a report from the Associated Press. Yeah, so the bridge might take about 10 years to get into operation. It might cost about $500 million to $1 billion. Let's read another article. This is from the Baltimore Sun. Key bridge collapse. Thousands of Baltimore port workers face uncertain future. Paychecks will soon run out for thousands of workers who handle cargo on Baltimore's docks, and the Regis port is starting on what could be a long, uncertain path. Vessel traffic to and in from the port of Baltimore's numerous terminals have been blocked since early Tuesday, when the Francis Scott Key Bridge was struck by a freighter and crumbled, killing six people. Two bodies were recovered while four more people are presumed dead. With the partial port shut down, little workers left on the lost shoremen, counting among the port's 19,970 cargo workers at both public and private terminals. For now, workers are unloading and developing cargo from strips that dock north of the bridge before the container ship at Dali hit a support pier just before 1:30 a.m. Tuesday. One more vessel loaded with autos offer a bit more work when it arrived Wednesday at Trade Point Atlantic, the Sparrows Point logistics hub outside the block waterway. But work at the IS, typically at one of the nation's busiest ports, is about to drive up. "We have very little work left, maybe lasting a week," said Scott Cohen, president of the International Longshoremen Association, Local 333. "We're going to have quite a bit of people out of a job and not receiving a paycheck very shortly. It's going to be soon." This local represents about 2,500 members, and at least 2,000 are expected to be left jobless, Cohen said. "But they are part of a much bigger daily workforce of 8,000 people, including terminal, rail, and tugboat operators, pilots, and truckers who have been directly affected," Governor Westmore said in a news conference Thursday evening. In Annapolis, state legislative leaders shared a draft of the bill Friday that might help. Under the proposal, the Department of Labor will create a temporary financial relief program for people who regularly perform paid work at the port, can't return to work because of the closure, or don't qualify for unemployment while the Port of Baltimore is closed. Estimates of how long it will take to clear and reopen the shipping canal range from weeks to months. Crumpled sections of the bridge and damaged freighter clogged the Patapusco River while recovery efforts continue. On Thursday, federal officials approved the initial $60 million request from the Moore administration to cover preliminary costs for mobilization, operations, and debris recovery. The number of direct and indirect jobs feeling the impact, at least 100,000, represents 10% of total employment in the Baltimore area, said Jeremy Schwartz, chair of economics at Loyola University of Maryland Sellers School of Business. "That may be a conservative number," he said, "because estimate of indirect jobs, such as suppliers and truckers, may lead out of the business, such as restaurants whose customers are port workers. These workers and their families are currently going to be hurting without relief," Schwartz said. "That's going to be a big strand of those families. Of course, those no fault of their own." Other concerns are whether workers can be absorbed into the workforce and what impact any reduced spending power, even temporary, could have on demand in the local economy, he said. The labor market in Maryland probably has never been stronger. With low unemployment, he said, so it's possible that the economy is better suited than other times to absorb some of these workers. The economy's strength is at least a plus. If it takes longer than expected to clear the channel, however, the port risks losing people with specialized skills, and all they could make it more difficult to recover, Schwartz said. In the short term, Cohen hopes that more car-carrying vessels will arrive at single berth at Trade Point, home to auto terminals for the BMW, Volkswagen, and Miles of Rails houses for Amazon, FedEx, McCormick & Co., and others. On Wednesday, the Wolfsburg, a regularly scheduled roll-off festival for the Volkswagen, arrived at Trade Port. It was the first cargo to arrive since the bridge collapsed. but the schedule remains uncertain at Trade Point, a bustling distribution hub with one limited capacity for ships and larger roll-off vessels and no container terminal, although one is planned, as carriers and shippers have rerouted cargo to other port cities. Cohen worries that some of the Trade Point's regular arrivals have been and will be diverted too. Trade Point officials said this week that they have been increased communication with shipping companies, a hope of taking in directed cargo. Trade Point Atlantic has an existing roll-on, roll-off operation that is well-equipped to handle additional levels of cargo. An unofficial said in the email Thursday, plans to accept redirected cargo are underway, including the ability to handle the increased capacity. Carrie O'Doyle, Transport's Managing Director, said that the hub will offer facilities that the authorities can use while clearing the channel so as to enable shipping to resume more quickly. The logistics hub has resumed operations Wednesday and after assisting in search and recovery efforts Tuesday. Trade Point Atlantic is committed to being an active partner during the recovery, cleanup, and rebuilding process, Doyle said in a statement. Between 100 million to 200 million of goods sales in and out of the port daily, U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg said at a White House briefing Wednesday afternoon it handled a record of 52.3 million tons of foreign cargo worth $80 billion last year and ranks the first among the nation's ports in the volume of autos, light trucks, heavy farm and construction machinery, imported sugar, and imposed gypsum. The port generates $3 billion in personal income annually. Senate Bill President Bill Ferguson, a South Baltimore Democrat, said that Wednesday when announcing along the other leaders in the General Assembly plans for the emergency legislation to offer economic relief to the displaced port workers and small businesses that serve that port. On Thursday, the Mayor's Office of Employment Development urged anyone whose job has been affected by the bridge collapse to fill out an online form to be connected with Career Center for assistance. Financial assistance can't come soon enough for Cohen. We need to put money in the pockets of people who are not getting a paycheck so you can pay their bills, feed their families, and take care of their daily needs. We need action now, and I'm sure it's not going to take longer now. Cohen said he hopes people will remember the role longshoremen played during the pandemic in getting products to consumers when a lot of that stuff came through the Port of Baltimore. Now the shoe's on the other foot, he said. We worked through the pandemic where many weren't working and we were still getting goods to them. Now we aren't working. Roland Rexia, Secretary Treasurer of the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association, a maritime union with roots in Baltimore and a training school in Easton, said its members will have to make adjustments but won't be out of work. The union said several hundred members in the Baltimore area represents engineers and deck officers in the foreign and domestic ships. We'll be able to adapt, but I worry about my brother and my sister union, the longshoremen. They're going to be ones hurting. Rexia said, if you see somebody who's down on their luck, this is the time to try to pick each other up. He describes the port ecosystem as a giant heart and every port of chamber of that heart. If one chamber fails, every other chamber has to push harder to make up for that failure, he said. The impact is going to be astronomical, slowing down the supply chain and making goods less accessible. Local 333 officials are working to help their members on several fronts, Cohen said. They're encouraging workers to file for unemployment, seeking relief from the union's international arm, and working to preserve health and other benefits. It's too soon, Cohen said, for many workers to know what's next. Still things sinking in, to be honest, he said. We're hopeful that the channel is going to be more open quickly and they're going to get back to work. Yeah, so again, this article is from the Baltimore Sun. It's a story by Lorraine Mirabella, a article writer from the Baltimore Sun. So, in response to this article, it's basically saying that a lot of workers are going to be out of jobs. These are the same workers that supported the Port of Baltimore during the COVID-19 pandemic, and they're looking for the American government to step in and help them out. Hopefully, they will. Now, I come from New York City. I don't live in Baltimore. I've never been in Baltimore before. I actually passed by Baltimore through the tunnel on the I-95. And I'll say this. This is actually very scary. And the reason why it's scary, because, you know, I'm from New York City. And the first thing I thought when I saw the collapse, I said, man, what if that was to happen to the George Washington Bridge? You know, the George Washington Bridge, is a part of a major interstate, which is I-95. And if that was the collapse, if there was a big accident then, man, oh man, oh man. There was a big accident then. Man, New York City, the whole state of New York and New Jersey will lose billions and billions of dollars. Stocks will go down in the New York Stock Exchange. It'll be bad. So I don't know. I think the federal government needs to go around, you know, and put safety measures in front of bridges like George Washington Bridge and every other bridge in the United States of America to make sure that this does not happen again. Thank you for your time. I'm Jeffrey Frazier. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and I'm signing off.